This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
For where we are right now, I'm not confident on exactly where, you know, the first nine picks are going to fall.
Yeah.
But that's something that we'll look into, and we'll definitely weigh the option of, hey, if we can move back and collect, you know, a certain pick in this range, could that be really beneficial for us as well? So yeah, that'll be in play.
That was Ryan Poles. Of course, we know what is next. It is the NFL draft. Now, about 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from today would be the second day. So we are bringing on Brett Coleman. He is the creator of The Film Room on YouTube, co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast. You can see all of his work on his YouTube channel, Brett Coleman. Joining us from LA, we always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for coming on the Midday Show, Brett.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
We also had to laugh about your NFL hat because it was told by our producer Ray Diaz that you were wearing, quote, the Rob Lowe hat.
Are you neutral? Brett? Are you neutral? Is that what's going on here?
You're supporting the Shield.
I have two teams that I root for, which I know people consider that sacrilege, but it's the two teams where, like, my dad worked when I was growing up. So he started out in Houston and then he moved to Chicago. He actually lived in the Loop, Franklin and Van Buren, I believe, for a long time. So I picked up the Bears as my second team. But, you know, during draft season, I love all my children equally. I cover all 32.
Is that the Texans or the Oilers that you're talking about when you say Houston?
Texans, early 2000s.
Got it.
2000s. So it was right after the team that I don't speak of, left Houston. But
oh, yeah.
It's all right.
Oh, you know what? Just because we're here, how do you feel about the Titans having those uniforms?
I think it's poetic justice that every time they wear the Oilers throwbacks, they try to do it against the Texans and they lose every single time. And then they just announce that they're actually shelving them for 2025. So I think they got tired of losing in them.
I did not know that, but that is the best news I've heard all day. Because they are not theirs.
It felt dirty. It felt dirty. So yeah, we're with you on that.
I think we want to start with you just on, we've seen multiple mock drafts now. We just had a guest on from our BetMGM network talking about the odds for the Bears and drafting Ashton Jeanty, of course, the super back from Boise State. So I think that's where we want to start with you. Just the latest on if you think that likelihood is going to take place, knowing that arguably, you know, at least 8 of the other 10 teams could also want his services as well.
I really don't think Jeanty's going to be there. I don't think Tyler Warren's going to be there. Obviously, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Like, I think all those guys are going to be gone in the first 7 picks. And so they're going to be left with a really, really hard decision because they are firmly in the second tier of players by the time we get to pick 10. All the first tier guys, whether you want to say a 1A tier or a 1B tier, they're all going to be gone. So it's going to come down to, you know, do you like Mason Graham enough to take him at 10, which for me, I'm a little bit different. I'm a little bit lower on Mason Graham than a lot of people. Just size, length, lack of power as a pass rusher. I think he's a really, really solid run defending defensive tackle as a pass rusher. Like, he's pretty streaky, and I think if you just want pure pass rush from an interior rusher, there's guys that you can get elsewhere in this draft that I think would still fill that role. So I'm not even sure Mason Graham is in play at 10. I think we're looking at potentially like a Malachi Starks pick, which I know is a name that not a lot of Bears fans have considered, but A, he's the best safety in this class. He's one of the only blue chip talents that I think will potentially be on the board because he plays safety. And then people also have to remember, there's no safeties on the roster after this season. So if you want to draft for a year ahead and have a guy who, A, probably could start this year anyway, and B, you already have that solution built in for 2026, and you're getting a really, really good player with contract control for 5 years, who, by the way, based on rookie slotting, is only going to be like the 30th highest paid safety anyway. Like, I think Malachi Starks is somebody to pay attention to. I really don't think Genty or Warren are going to be there.
Do you think it makes more sense because of Starks and maybe him not being that high on draft boards to trade down and take a guy like that or even an offensive tackle? Or do you think they should just draft from where they are? Because it doesn't sound like they're going to have the willingness to give up what it would take to get to that first tier that you were just talking about.
I think ideally, yes, trading down would be great. But I don't know if they're going to be able to go that far, right? Like, they might be able to go into the mid-teens if somebody's trying to jump the Niners to get a corner or a defensive tackle because they need both. Like, I could see them maybe going to like 15 if the Falcons want to come up to jump the Niners, or maybe if the Bengals want to come up to get an edge, depending on how the Trey Hendrickson thing is working out. Like, hell, I honestly wouldn't even hate it if a Trey Hendrickson trade for Chicago was part of a swap down to 17, if they could make the math work on that one. So I would love it if they could trade down. The hard part is finding somebody who wants to come up.
Man, you just said something that would make a lot of people very, very happy. I thought that that was not even something to consider. But the math would be the difficult piece of this because of how much money the Bears' recent moves have already taken off of that cap. Like, that would have to be some... It would have to be some Bengals math, frankly, where you're paying somebody into 2098. I don't know how you work it out.
And it's something that you see happen in the league a little bit more often, not to go on a tangent, but Bears fans, follow me here. If you're looking at what the Eagles have done as far as how they structure their contracts, a lot of that is only possible because of all the money that they have raised, all the liquid capital, the actual cash that they have raised. And Jeffrey Lurie last year sold an 8% stake of the Eagles for about $660 million. And what that allowed them to do was pay all of these contracts that are essentially just option bonuses spread out for years and years and years with these void years on the end of the deal, so that they can keep cap hits low while paying guys at top of market value. But that's only possible if you have a whole bunch of liquid cash available. The Bears, in theory, could do that too. I just don't know how much liquid they have available could do to raise it.
Well, that the stadium piece of this is huge for the Bears. So our understanding is it's a perhaps a McCaskey family 70% or so. But, you know, I don't know that they've taken advantage of that private equity 10% that the NFL has just now allowed. But the reason we have the numbers on this, or at least some of the numbers, is because they want to build that stadium at Arlington Heights. That's a property that has been sitting vacant since they purchased it. They have not broken ground on anything. There's still talk that the stadium might be built somewhere else, although that has dwindled. And we don't know if they're going to need that, say that liquid you just discussed, for the stadium project.
And not to mention, like, it's really, not to go in a completely different direction, but with the way the world economy is looking right now, and nobody knows exactly how expensive it's going to be to import construction materials that we need to build a stadium, there could be so many cost overruns on that thing, even if they decided to build it in Arlington or whatever they decide to do, like in Chicago proper. Like, construction costs are going to potentially be skyrocketing here, which then leaves less liquid capital to do all the funky contract stuff that the Eagles do, right? So we're just in a giant game of, I don't know right now. And it's kind of crazy how all these like macroeconomic problems can actually have an effect on how the Bears build a roster. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
Brett, you've just talked me into and then subsequently out of Trey Hendrickson and also out of a stadium being built anytime soon. Because you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Back to the draft. And I think one thing that Bears fans are hoping for is that someone starts falling in love with quarterbacks named Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart, and maybe those players are taken ahead of the Bears, driving down more players and more options for the Bears at number 10. What do you think the chances are either or both of those guys get drafted somewhere in the top nine?
I definitely don't think Dart is going to go top nine. I think Shedeur might. Now, I personally don't have that high of a grade on Shedeur to justify taking him in the top 10, but he's a quarterback, and quarterbacks go high whether their grade is that high or not, right? I think it's possible he goes to New Orleans at nine. And I actually think out of all the teams in the top 10, he actually probably fits them the best as far as the type of offense that I think Kellen's going to run. They have a franchise left tackle. They have a wide receiver one. They're in a dome. So I think him in New Orleans just makes sense. If he gets past New Orleans and he is available at 10, now you could see, you know, potentially you kind of dangle that carrot to like Pittsburgh. And I don't think Pittsburgh would pay a huge price to come up, but you could at least get on the phone and be like, do you want to make sure you get him or not? Because in front of them, like, yeah. You know, there's just a lot of picks between there, right? So, and you know, maybe you call the Rams and say like, hey, do you want to make sure you get him? I don't think it would be a massive haul because he's not that kind of prospect. But if you really wanted to move down, your best hope is Shedeur ending up at 10.
Wow. Well, I think the other question is when you're considering the tiers of players, and we're talking to Brett Coleman, I think about just anything and everything at this point under the sun. I joke, but it's a lot of fun to talk to you about, just not NFL, but all the things around the NFL as well. And you can check out his work on YouTube, of course, Brett's. And I do want to ask you about this. If you're saying that the Bears with a top 10 pick are already looking at what you consider the second tier, where do you think that second tier begins in this draft?
Six, maybe, like six or seven.
Okay.
I would say. And what's crazy is like that second tier goes all the way till the end of the first round. like there's 50 guys that you could make a case for getting taken in the first round this year. And the difference in the grade between like who's going to go at 15 and who's going to go at 35 is not that big. So that's what actually makes this draft more intriguing to me than a lot of other ones, because everybody sees everybody differently. And that's because all the grades are so similar. And so like the small, tiny, minute things, like in terms of like subjectively grading a player, have that much more weight. Right. And so like, I truly have no idea what's going to happen. Like we could see Matthew Golden go at 12. We could see Matthew Golden go at 32, and both would make sense for me. And I think also that's kind of just what makes this draft compelling.
So where do you see players like Armon Membo fitting into that? And potentially, you know, some of the other offensive line names that we've seen, like Kelvin Banks.
I'm a big fan of Banks. I'm also a big fan of Membo. I think both of them should be top 10 picks, especially if you're looking at the teams that are in the top 10. Like I think the Bears, they're definitely in the left tackle market, because if you're just looking at what left tackles cost now, it's like, do you really want to pay Braxton that much money when you could just draft a guy now and kind of do the Olu Fashanu plan and draft a year ahead? So I think the Bears are in the left tackle market and they're hoping that Banks or Membo get there. But in front of them, you have the Saints, who do need a right tackle. You have the Jets, who need a right tackle and both guard spots. You have the Raiders, who could absolutely take a guard. If they see Will Campbell as a guard, I know most teams see him as a tackle, but if they see him as a guard, they could take Will Campbell. The Patriots obviously need a tackle. Even the Giants, like if the Giants, for whatever reason, you know, if they want to move down a little bit and trade Abdul Carter to like the Panthers, the Giants would be in the right tackle market too. So even with the tackles that I really like in this class, even they could all be gone by the time we get to 10. Wow. So it's just unfortunate for the Bears. They're like right after where I think the shelf hits, and it makes them kind of be in a very precarious position right now.
You're talking about the depth that happens right around where the Bears are picking that first pick. Looking at all their picks, especially when you talk about 39 and 41 overall and even 72, I've addressed this, Brett, pretty simply as the Bears need these four positions, and they've got to be starting level guys, if not at the start of this year, by the end of year one as rookies. And those positions are the tackle spot that you just talked about, also defensive line or edge rusher, either one. They need guys who can get to the quarterback, because right, they haven't had that for the last 4 years or so. And then running back, and then safety, as you mentioned off the top of this.
Yeah, and I think all of those make sense, right? And it's a big reason why, again, I think Malachi Starks is in play. I would even say Omarion Hampton is in play as like your break glass in case of emergency. Like, we're just taking a good football player, and we know Ben Johnson loves his running backs. So like, I think Hampton's in play. As far as edge rusher, I'm just kind of looking at where I have guys slotted right now. Day one starters in this class, I have Abdul Carter, Donovan Ejiraku, Mike Green, Nick Scorton, I think, could start. Princely Umadmielen, I think, could start immediately. Josiah Stewart, I think, is going to go down the board because of size, but I think he could start right now. And so even at edge, like, guys that I think week one on the field with the ones, like Braden Swinson, I'll throw in there as well. There's probably only a group of like 5 to 8 edges, but after Abdul Carter, you could order 2 through 8 in whatever order you want to. And so it just really comes down to if they're going to fall in love with a guy at 10, and maybe they do. At defensive tackle, I think it's a similar kind of thing. Like, I think as far as week one immediate starters, you have Mason Graham, who, again, I'm not as high on, but I do think he's a starter. Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan, and probably Derek Harmon, and that's in Alfred Collins. So there's 5 guys there as well. But again, you could order them in whatever way you want to. So it's just a matter of if they fall in love with a guy enough to justify taking them in the top 10. And it's a tough spot to be in because that cliff hits right before they pick.
Yeah, that was the part of it to me where I feel like it's not only about what you say when it comes to the tiers of who's available at the top. It's what the picks end up being valued for after that. Where we had Chris Emma on, one of our Bears reporters, last week talking about the value of pick swapping in this NFL draft in particular. Bears, we know, have 4 in the top 72. So could you see them using maybe one of those, or maybe even a later pick, to trade up to get somebody, knowing that that is the risk that teams take by not being in that top 6 that you mentioned, or even if it's 7?
I think that trading up to get a blue chipper from the 10 spot absolutely would make sense. But the double-edged sword there is, okay, if we acknowledge that there is a wide, wide middle in this draft class, right? And there's going to be guys that are going mid-first round that you could have graded similarly to guys that are going in, you know, mid-second round or top of second round. And you have guys going in mid-second round that are graded similarly to guys going in mid-third round, because the middle class in this class is so huge. Now you're actually thinking, okay, well, maybe I should just get more of those picks. Maybe I should get more of those day two picks, because if we can get a higher volume of players that are similarly graded, is that not better than just getting one really, really good player? Like, is it better to have fewer weaknesses or one more strength, right? And that's a total philosophical opposites as far as roster building goes. Like, do you want to build with blue chip talent and let your stars be stars, or do you want to make it so that your roster has no massive weaknesses week in and week out, and we have a whole bunch of depth? You could win either way. I don't know what the Bears prefer there, but I think there's a bunch of teams that would actually want to go down, not up, because they think that they can get more similarly graded players in round 2 and round 3.
I think the issue here is that Caleb Williams is probably the star of stars, and Ben mm-hmm. Johnson affects this, I think, as a whole. It's great to talk to you, Brett, about the Bears, and just not only that, but a good conspiracy theory in there as well. Maybe conspiracy is too strong. I would call it a, here's what has to happen in order for your dream trade scenario for Hendrickson. That was great for sure. Brett Coleman hosts the Film Room on YouTube, and he's the co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast. Thanks for joining us here on the Midday Show on The Score.
Thanks, Brett.
Thanks for having me.
That is good stuff with Brett Coleman. That went some places that I was not expecting.
If you can get Trey Hendrickson on the Bears, do it. I can't quite see the path.
Did you hear how he made it sound like you have to mortgage that? And there's only so many of those you get. Maybe we retouch on that idea a little bit later on our show. We have more to come here on the Score Midday Show. Coming up next, Lance Lynn, the former White Sox starting pitcher, was on the Foul Territory podcast, and he had some stuff to say about the team. And since, well, they had to have six pitchers have Tommy John surgery in an announcement of a month's time, it's worth taking a look at. That's next on.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Score.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
It all comes down to Miguel Vargas. Swings at the first one. It gets through to left field. One comes in, and we might have an injury. Oh, no. Talkman comes up and can't score. He just came off of a hamstring tweak off the IL a couple days ago, and he was unable to get home as he rounded the bag at third, started limping.
Oh, John Schriffen, I know you didn't want to have to call that. We thought the Sox were going to win a game in Cleveland, but unfortunately, they've now lost 8 in a row. I don't want to hear it out of you about the win total, Marshall. I don't want to hear it right now. I heard it from Joe Ostrowski earlier on the show. I'm not doing it.
No, he told you what the over-under is. I'm going to tell you what they're on pace to actually do, which is win 27 games.
You're on pace to, after 15 games, is aggressive, but I'm into it. You're like, the Cubs are on pace to win 1,000 games. I'm like, that's mathematically impossible.
Why would you reject data? Never reject data. The data says, simply, the White Sox are on pace to lose more games than they did last year. Simply put.
I love the on-pace stat when it's home runs and some guy's on pace to hit like 140 home runs in a season.
Yes.
That's when I enjoy it.
I like a good Kevin Moss pace. I'm good with that.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios on the Midday Show, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I am still the person who sees Lance Lynn appear on a podcast like Foul Territory. That's our friend AJ Pierzynski's podcast, as you know. And I'm interested. So I knew that when Lance Lynn was going to appear, something about the Sox maybe either asked, because it's Lance and AJ, or said freely. He's never been afraid to talk. As you recall, he was a big centerpiece of the White Sox previous regime and rebuild. And he talked about the Sox situation when it comes to an actual organization versus every other major league team.
And the gist of it, when you're with the Dodgers and the Yankees at that point in my career, their ability to everything that you would need as a player and on and off the field, they were, you know, they had it all covered. But they also, their ability to teach what they wanted to teach, whether it's the sabermetrics, anything and everything, but they taught it. They taught you how to be you, I guess, is a simple way to say it. And that's why I think you see those guys showing up with the ability to play. When I first came up in St. Louis, sabermetrics weren't there yet. There was a way to play. They called it the Cardinal way, but the Cardinal way when I first came up was play the game hard, leave it all out on the field and be there for your teammates. And then it turned into a bunch of other stuff that really didn't matter on how you played or how you competed or anything like that. It was more off the field stuff, which, you know, I think you saw them try to go the sabermetric way, and then you go one way too far, then you got to figure out how to get back in the middle. And I think that you're seeing that now with St. Louis this year, with what they're doing with their revamp organizationally. And then you know, Minnesota was in the boat of trying to step up. And then I think when Correa got there, he really helped them, and Sonny Gray, those two together really helped them take their organization to the next level, especially at the big league level. And you have like your Nelson Cruzes and those guys that were, you know, they're really in tune to the things that, you know, kept getting an edge, and sabermetrics and video and stuff like that really took them to the next level. And then when it comes to Texas was there with everything. Woody brought a lot of things over from the Dodgers. So then you're starting to see what he built. And then Boach came in with a, you know, his pedigree as a manager and World Series and this and that to really take them to where they're at. So that was already kind of being built. And then obviously Chicago is behind everybody. I'm not trying to be negative or anything like that.
No, you're being honest.
It's just the honest truth. Like, there's some great people there. AJ knows all of those people. There's a lot of great people there. But when it comes to top to bottom organizationally, like even minor leagues coming up, I went down and spent a month rehabbing my knee there, and I stayed with the AAA team for the whole time, and just seeing the way that things were going about and stuff like that, there definitely needs to be some changes, and there still probably needs to be some changes just by going off of some of the things I've heard and seen.
Some of the things he's heard and seen.
And you listen to that and you're wondering, does he sound bitter, or is he just stating facts, or somewhere in between? Because obviously he has a bias because he's comparing the White Sox to other organizations and maybe his experiences with those organizations.
Yeah, I mean, he went from the White Sox to the Dodgers. You know, there's a contrast there.
Slight contrast.
As we like to say, you know, like the Cubs are the upper middle class, the Cubs are the wealthy, and the Dodgers are the billionaires.
Yes. Cubs are millionaires. The Dodgers are billionaires.
And we're the dollar menu-naires.
The White Sox? Is that what they are?
But you and me.
Oh, us. Well, yeah, obviously. I'm just...
I would put the White Sox in the middle class in this analogy. He's seen it all. He's seen it all. And I don't find his comments about the Sox organization, especially after he left, like he got the deal he wanted. I think, you know, you send him to a better organization as the team did. And I don't find that to be bitter, but I also find it to be an assessment of something where, again, I'm asking the questions. You hired a general manager who was in charge of your minor league system, doing so because you said that he wasn't going to set your team back a year when it came to how to rebuild the organization.
How'd that year go?
We find out that he's fighting for things that maybe we don't know on the surface, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's machinery, whether it's just resources to do the job better. But additionally, a lot of that was also on him. And I don't know if he was making do with what he had. You know, that's an easy thing to say now, you know, when you're in the top spot. But either way, when you hear all of this add up the way it does, whether it's, as I mentioned earlier, six pitchers needing Tommy John surgery from the start of spring training, and that's going to happen. People put miles on their arms that go far before they ever get to an organization at times. You know, what kids are doing to their arms, playing travel ball and things like that, people are studying, sure. But when Mike Tauchman rounds the bases and you think they're going to win and he comes up lame before he gets home because this is a guy who is just on the injured list with a hamstring issue and then comes off of it. And now we have the same issue. That's when I'm asking questions like this. And when players themselves have seen it and a veteran like this, who's not afraid to talk to AJ and say stuff like that, I'm listening.
We're talking about the latest injury and there's been several, but that Tauchman specifically, you take that, you take the adductor strain that was suffered by Andrew Benintendi, which has him on the injured list. But he says he should be back in a week. That's the good news on that. But then you have Corey Lee, who was off to a good offensive start, especially relative to the rest of the White Sox lineup. And he's dealing with an ankle injury. Now you've got...
Well, he rolled that. I mean, that's not as... You know, that is circumstantial. But the soft tissue injuries that have plagued this team...
Okay, so however you want to look at it, Steve Stone is looking at it in a very... interesting way. He was on with Mully and Haw earlier to talk about their long list of injuries.
The Sox have had an inordinate amount of injuries. Guys, I will tell you, it's not the strength and conditioning people. It's not the trainers. Right now, it looks like there's a curse. Obviously, I don't believe that that's the case, but I will tell you that there is an inordinate amount of injuries to a thin organization to begin with. And it's stopping this team from performing the way that they envisioned. I mean, if you look at what the lineup was supposed to be as it was envisioned, it's not close to what it is now.
But we've been saying that for how long? How long have we been saying that?
We've seen guys like Tim Anderson miss time. We've seen guys like...
Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert.
Aloy Jimenez. It has been a theme.
Even when it was supposed to be the main people... responsible for what was supposed to be a run during Lance Lynn's time. So you think he's not thinking of those things while he's talking about this?
No, I'm sure he is. But the bigger picture thing for the White Sox is you were thinking, oh, they could be the most improved baseball team in the majors and still lose 100 games. Let me tell you something. Not only are those 100 losses coming, but this team, I will be surprised if they get to 50 wins because they're bad. They're 2-10. They've lost 8 games in a row since a 2-2 start. And as you just heard, a bunch of guys are injured. And those reinforcements you were depending on, such as the Colson Montgomerys, they're not anywhere close to being ready.
Who also has an injury issue.
Right. So it's going to be close. It's going to be worse before it gets better. And I know that's hard to hear when you're talking about a team that's 2-10, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. They're not good. They don't have good enough hitters. They don't have nearly good enough bullpen. And you just got to grin and bear it right now as the White Sox and understand, hey, at least they're eligible to get the first overall pick in the draft.
I mean, we're going to be talking about that part of it all season. But it's just a matter of how. And when somebody like Lance Lynn, who's seen a thing or two, explains it in a way that compares and contrasts, these things start to add up as to how you see them manifest on the field. the soft tissue injuries are a concern, have been one. We joke about Swaggy No Legs. Unfortunately, he's back. He might be the team MVP at sometimes during the season. But talent acquisition is one thing. Payroll is one thing. Those are outright decisions that you've made. But this piece of it, the maintenance of the people who are on the team, if it really deserves to be looked at in this way, then that is something that you should be addressing more proactively. If you have the resources to do so.
The White Sox, and this is where the issue comes. We are all impressed their first turn through the rotation, right? The starting pitching. But the bottom line is they have the lowest OPS in all of baseball at 578. They are not hitting above the Mendoza line. They're batting 199 as a team.
That doesn't surprise me based on who we know is playing for the team.
Well, but some of those guys at least had some good at-bats. Now some of the guys who you were depending on to do some of the heavy lifting, they're not even available. And they may be injured, trying to recover from injury. Let's be honest. Mike Tauchman was a top four hitter on this team.
Mike Tauchman, to his credit, was also in the highest slugger for the Cubs the month that they had that horrible April. Like, that's why I'm like, okay, I understand why you wanted to get a guy like Mike Tauchman. My issue is, was he really ready to come back when you thought he was? Because we would say that based on what we just saw, the answer was no. So what are you doing to evaluate that person?
I mean, we'll find out in the coming days, I guess, and see how long he remains on the injured list this time around.
I would rather, unfortunately, and they used to do this too, tell us that somebody had a setback and they don't want to bring them up yet, than see what I just saw. But the problem is when the people that they've brought up are guys where you're trusting them to be a cornerstone of your infield, for example, and you previously DFA'd that person, that speaks to the lack of depth. You know, one of your top-rated prospects in all of baseball can't seem to come online, even though you thought that he was going to be the dude in spring training, and you made it sound like that, you as an organization. That's a disconnect. That's where the discussion really begins, because whatever you think you're doing to evaluate some of these individuals, something is still not working properly there. And even though your manager went to Princeton, it takes more than one Ivy League mind to figure this out.
They're lost right now, and unfortunately, their being lost is going to cost them a lot of games. Not that they were going to win a bunch of games this year anyway, but I think they could, this is going to sound harsh, but I can see them setting a new record. As in the record they set last year, they could reset it this year.
Like we said, we're going to track that all year. But when it comes to stuff where we see patterns and we see what happens to add to that result, then that's where we're paying attention.
Why?
Because that's what we do.
It is what we do. Meanwhile, Garrett Crochet is just sitting on that extension of his, and he can just say that this is a team he used to play for, just like Carlos Rodon and, you know, Chris Sale and Lucas Giolito.
Indifferent. Indifferent.
Good times. Coming back on the Score Midday Show, we talk about the Bulls. And we ask the question tonight, what are they playing for? I would argue even more than you may think.
Mm.
That's next on the Score.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
114-109 Bulls with 52 seconds to go. Bill, how do you play this now? Do you play it out? Do you foul? What do you do?
Well, they're going to play it out right now, but they're running out of possessions. Miami
Hero with the strip and a steal with a pull-up topside three. No. Rebound, Herter. Oh, my. Herter races over the timeline. Herter in the paint. In the right corner, a three by Mattis. Yes! Onions, baby onions. Timeout, Miami. Mattis Mazzellis, the rookie with big time onions. You got to love it.
You tell them, Chuck Swirsky and Bill Weddington. And by the way, we want to let you know, tickets are on sale now for potential Bulls home postseason games in the play-in tournament and round one of the NBA playoffs. Go to bulls.com/postseason for all things Bulls postseason, including info on tickets, watch parties, and more. The dates and times of the games will be confirmed by the NBA. You know, the National Basketball Association, Marshall. The association, as I like to call it.
Hmm.
Bulls,
interesting.
Why?
Bulls play the home finale tonight of the regular season against the Wizards. And I'm kind of petty here. Not that that is breaking news, But I think just because the Bulls lost to the Wizards so badly the last time they played them, that they should beat the ever-loving tar out of them. And based on Joe Ostrowski saying that they're favored by over 16 points, I think there's a good chance of that happening.
I don't know that there's a great chance of that happening, because I don't think Billy Donovan, if they get up big, it's going to be about them expending extra energy on the Washington Wizards. They still have another regular season game to play, and of course they have a play-in game to play early next week. So I think if they get a big lead, he's just going to sit everyone.
I understand why he would do that based on what we saw against Cleveland, and I know that still messes with you. And I know that the Bulls have beaten the Wizards since that loss on New Year's Day against Washington, but I don't care. There was still no excuse to lose to this team the way they did the last time, so even though they already beat them, I would like them to beat them again. Like, by 20.
To be clear.
Like, you need to score at least 130 points against this team.
On January 1st, they lost 125-107. It was not a close game.
And
but
at the
then,
time, the Wizards had single-digit wins.
It was an embarrassing loss.
January 1st. It was ridiculous. I had friends text me from out of nowhere from D.C. that are like, are you really okay with this? And I'm like, no. And maybe it's those friends that I want to prove that two wins against your team would be suitable for me. And I know that this is a pretty empty argument, and I don't care because I'm still annoyed by that loss.
Well, what's crazy about the loss is it came in the midst of a five-game stretch in which they won all the other games. So they had beaten Milwaukee. They had beaten Charlotte on the road. Then they had that embarrassing loss to Washington. Then they beat the Knicks and the Spurs, which is crazy.
It was crazy. And then they beat Washington a few days later, 138-105. But that's not enough for me. You need to do something like grand gesture-wise against this team. Like beating them again a few days later, yeah. But you need to beat them twice in order to make yourselves feel better about that loss. That was just ridiculous at the time.
I'll say this.
A tank loss for sure. But just now that you're not doing that, I need you to make amends here.
Seems like they should have decided earlier not to tank. You know?
There's that.
Like the beginning of the season.
Yeah, there's also that.
I'm looking at the schedule and a game at home, final home game tonight against the Wizards. Then they go and finish the regular season on the road against Philadelphia. Here's what I want to see, Layla.
And you know who's winning that game.
It'll be the Bulls. Although Philly has locked up their
Have they secured?
Yeah.
So that's the issue.
They're Philly not going to lose their lottery position.
The Sixers had a top six protected pick.
Yes.
And they made sure that they secured it.
Yeah, so they could get a guy like Cooper Flagg next season and be scary. If Joel Embiid is healthy, which is a big if.
If there's one thing you never question the Sixers are going to do, it's trust the process. This was all very process. But these are two teams, I think, in similar discussions, Philly and Chicago, taking two very different approaches on this.
So to update people, I just want people to know, the Bulls, they're probably locked into that 9 spot. They will host the Heat next week. That is unless Atlanta loses its last two games and the Bulls win their last two games. The magic number for the Atlanta Hawks to be the 8 seed and therefore have two shots to win one game to go to the playoffs, that means that as long as Atlanta doesn't lose both their games and the Bulls win both their games, they're good to go. Meanwhile, the Bulls will host the Heat. And then they'll face the loser of the Orlando Magic-Atlanta Hawks game. They'll need to win both those games to have the honor of opening the NBA playoffs against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, here's the good news. If you're still in tank mode, as long as they don't get in the playoffs, they'll still be in the lottery, although it will be at much lower percentages than they would have been if they had held the slot they had earlier this season.
I mean, that's it. It's that the Bulls have at least qualified for the play-in. Every year it's been in existence, did make the playoffs. One of those seasons, and you know that, yes, that this is something that it has to be appealing to the organization.
Where
they are fighting for this in a way that makes it make sense. But it's like you said, Marshall, if this is really what they want, then why don't you try to give yourself better odds to succeed in it by playing Kobe White against Cleveland?
I don't have an answer to that. I do know that Kobe White didn't look as good in the game that we both saw. You, Ray, and I, along with David Haw, saw on Wednesday night. and it's a little bit confounding. I get it. He's saying they're nicked up, bumps and bruises, whatever. And so, you know, once Atlanta clinches, and once, like, if at the end of the night tonight or going into Sunday, if the Bulls have already clinched that home game in the play-in, maybe he will rest everyone. I don't want to see it. I think they need to keep a rhythm. They need to keep a rhythm. And if you really want to go for the playoffs, go for it. Otherwise, you could be where, say, the San Antonio Spurs are right now. The Spurs are 33-47. And they have a 26% chance at a top four pick and a 6% chance at the number one overall pick. If the Bulls don't make the playoffs as of right now, they would have a 7.1% at a top four pick and a 1.5% chance at the number one overall pick. Now, here's the news I will give you. Last year, the Atlanta Hawks had a 2% chance at the number one pick.
And they got it.
And they got it. So,
It's happened here where they had a lower than that percent chance and they got Derrick Rose. But do you see that happening again? I mean, that's, we're fighting over percentages here, and that's what makes this difficult.
I want to see Coby White, Josh Giddey, Matas Buzelis, and the rest of them do something special here. I don't know what special looks like. I'll figure that out between now and next week, but just do something special.
It's be reminded of your worst loss of the season, which was definitely the one to the Wizards on New Year's Day. That was just silly.
Okay.
I'm not over this, Ray. I don't know why it bothered me so much, but
it's
really
the Wizards.
Did. Like, there was just no need. They also, and then I was like, oh, so you're really, the New Year's resolution is to tank in 2025, but then it was not. Now that has confused me even more. So the only way I see making this make sense is revenge. And then maybe two more games to argue that Billy Donovan could be the coach of the year in the NBA.
Teams with the two worst records in basketball, the Bulls lost to both of them, Utah and, of course, the Wizards.
But then they beat teams like the, you know, beat teams like the Nuggets at home.
We'll see how it plays out.
We have much more coming up next on The Score. More draft talk. Brad Biggs came out with his mock draft for the Bears, his updated one. We just had a lot of really good discussion with Brett Coleman, so we want to bring that back as well. And then Todd McShay was on the afternoon show, so I feel like that's something that we need to touch on. Just his draft analysis, it's always elite. That's next on The Score.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.